Numbers 22 and put your finger there and then turn all the way to the back there right before Revelation and turn to Jude. I'm going to read you here one verse in Jude and then we'll come back here to Numbers chapter 22. So find there Numbers chapter 22 and then flip back there in the back right before Revelation to the book of Jude. It's just one page, so be careful, you'll pass it. And we're going to look here in verse 11. I'm going to read verse 11 here in Jude, verse 11 first. All right, here, Jude, verse 11, it says here, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward." Now, last week we looked at Cain and Abel. So this week we're going to look here at the account of Balaam. So flip over here back to Numbers 22. Numbers 22, and I'll begin reading here in Numbers 22, verse number 1. And it says here, "And the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak the son of Zippor was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam the son of Beor to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam, and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, has sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." We're going to look here at the doctrine of Balaam. The doctrine of Balaam leads to destruction. That's the thought here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we are grateful again to be in your house here this evening. Lord, grateful for those that you brought in here tonight, Lord. Anxious to hear from you. Anxious to hear your word here tonight. So, Lord, I pray you use me here today. I pray you fill me with your spirit. And I pray you give me your words to speak to the people here today, Lord. And we'll give you the glory for what you do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if the curtains were rolled back between heaven and earth, we would see what lies behind all the sin and all the evil that's going on in the world today. We would see a magnitude of evil spirits seeking to deceive people and turn them away from the one true God. Some of these evil spirits out there are the occult, the false prophets, the diviner, the sorcerer, the psychic, the palm reader, the fortune teller, the astrologer, and the list goes on and on and on. But these leaders of the occult there, they claim to know the future. They claim that they can bring blessings into the lives of people. And some go as far as to even claim they can control the future. They can bring blessing upon blessing, and they can also bring curse upon curse. Under the power of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places, they deceive people and turn people away from the one true God. Let me tell you, we are in a war.
We are in a battle. We can't see it, but it's there. We are in the battle of Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are in a battle, and the devil wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy this church, and there is a battle going on, and he will use whoever he can to make that happen. Now, here in our scriptures here today, the account of Balaam, this is an example for us. It's in the Word of God as an example for us here today to see God's preeminence, his power, his divineness, his holiness over all false prophets and all false gods that there ever were claimed to be. Jehovah God is the only God. He is the creator of all things. He cannot be defeated with religious rituals or even magic. Isaiah 44:6, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and the Redeemer of the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God. He is it. He is the only God. The Lord alone is God. All other claims of God, they're all false gods. They're all pretenders. They're not real. Only the Lord is God. Now, Balaam, he was known as a false prophet here. He was a false prophet hired by the king of Moab to curse God's people. He was known as a diviner, which is a psychic. He was known as a diviner or a psychic for hire. In Numbers 22:7, it says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam and spoke unto him the words of Balak. Balaam was also known to use enchantments, which is magic. In Numbers 24:1, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek for enchantments. And Balaam was also known to offer sacrifices to idols in Numbers 22:41. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. Now, we live in a day where false prophets are everywhere. They're not hiding. They're everywhere. They're not ashamed to spew their false doctrines out upon anywhere. We have Christians who have the truth who are afraid to open their mouth. But with these false prophets, hey, they are bold and they will spew their false doctrines everywhere. They're on TV. They're on the internet. They're on the social media. They're writing best-selling books today. And they are in churches everywhere. And just like Balaam, they have religious words, but they have very wicked motives to destroy the things of God. So today, let's look here at some truths here from the life of Balaam. We're going to look here at some truths from the life of Balaam. Number one, I want you to see here that Balaam knew about God, but he didn't know God personally. And if you look here, we'll just start here in the first three verses of Numbers 22. It says here, and the children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak the son of Zippor saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. Finally, here we are. The Israelites had reached the plains of Moab, and they had camped along the Jordan River here, right across from Jericho, and the promised land is right in sight. God's people are about to take hold of the promises of God and enter into the promised land. And we have this king here, king of Moab. He had heard all the stories about Israel. He had heard about all their victories that they had had, and now their camps nearby him, and this news brought fear to this king. The king knew that the Israelites were no match for him. And if he were to launch an attack against the Israelites, he would be defeated. The Israelites would destroy him, then destroy the nation, and they would wipe him out. So the king sought to curse and defeat Israel by pagan sorcery. And so he sends messengers to secure the help of Balaam. Remember the one we've been talking about, Balaam. The false prophet, the sorcerer, the magician. Right? They wanted to get him to curse Israel. So that way that they could defeat them in battle. In verse number 5 here, he says, he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. Balaam earned a living by playing off the fears and the sufferings and the hopes of other people. Claiming to have the answers to whatever the people needed, he could bless a person, and that person would apparently be blessed. He could curse a person, and that person would apparently be cursed. Balaam is a false prophet with a false message. He did not know Jehovah God. He'd only heard about him, like so many false prophets today, only interested in the money, only interested in the fame, only interested in what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? Right? And they play off the feelings of man and in the vulnerable times of man and exploit them. In verse 8, we're moving on here. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Balaam spoke as if he knew the Lord. He spoke as if he had a relationship with God. He used the name Lord. And he claims to hear from him. But using religious lingo does not make it spiritual. The devil knows the book inside and out. He knows the word. He knows how to use the word. He knows how to tweak the word. Yea, remember, yea hath God said all the way back in the garden. Hey, using religious language does not make a person spiritual. Remember in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus says, Many, many, remember, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. And they're calling him Lord, but Jesus says there in verse 23 that he never knew them. Depart from me. Right? Hey, but all those works that we did, all those things that we did, we even preached in your name, and they called him Lord, Lord, but Jesus says, I never knew you. Many people like this today stand in pulpits all over the world, and they say, well, God told me this. Well, let me tell you, they are as spiritually dead as Balaam was. God only speaks to us today through his word. Through his word, not through visions, not through tarot cards, not through magic, only through his word. And praise the Lord, he's preserved it for us right here in the King James Bible. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. You see, there's a lot of religions in the world. There's a lot of false religions. They may talk the lingo. They may have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Right? From such we are to turn away. Balaam, he was a master schemer. He spoke prophecies, but he was not a true prophet. He was a devourer of the people. Hey, let me ask you tonight. Hey, are you obeying God because you love him? The Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Are we pretending to be spiritual while living carnal? Are we one way on Sunday and maybe Wednesday, but then Monday morning we go to work and we're a totally different way? Or we come into the church and we're one way and we go home and we're a totally different? Balaam, remember, Balaam used spiritual language, but his heart was far from God. He did not know personally God. Number 2, I want you to see here that Balaam was a covetous man. Balaam was a very covetous man. He's in it for the money. All right? And Balaam is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. So if you would, hold your place here in Numbers, but turn over to 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. And look there in verse number 15. Like I said, he's mentioned 3 times. We're going to look eventually at those 3 times. We already saw one of them there in Jude. But here in 2 Peter chapter number 2, in verse number 15, we're seeing here Balaam was a covetous man. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, he tells us here, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved, right here, the wages of unrighteousness. And then, you know, of course, we read Jude, verse 11. It says, woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward. Balaam is an example of a false teacher who coveted riches of the world, and he led God's people into sin and into destruction. The Bible warns us here that they followed the way of Balaam. You see, all false teachers deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They deny the deity of Jesus Christ, and their ultimate goal is to lead people astray, to lead people into sin, and to lead people into destruction. And in just a few minutes, I'll show you what Balaam did to the people here. But all false teachers deny the Lord Jesus Christ. They're only in it for the worldly gain, only in it for what am I going to get out of it. But God let Balaam show his true character here. Look here in verse, if you get back to Numbers 22. Back in Numbers 22, look here in verses 12 and 13. I want you to see this here. It says here in verse 12 of Numbers 22, and God said unto Balaam, get this, thou shalt not go with them, and thou shalt not curse them. You might want to underline that and come back to that later. He says, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princess of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. Let me tell you here, nothing more needed to be said, did it? God has spoken. Thus saith the Lord. Look again with me there in verse 12, in case you missed it. He says, thou shalt not go with them. You get that? Thou shalt not curse the people. God had spoken. God had revealed His will. All He had to do was obey. Are we any different today? How many times do we pray and seek God's face and seek God's will, and we pray and we pray and we pray, and God reveals His will to us and He shows us what He wants us to do, and we say, oh, I don't like that idea. I don't like that one. No, I'm gonna do what? I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to keep praying. And maybe He'll give me a different answer. Right? We don't like the first answer, and so we come back. We want another answer. Hey, kids, your mom and dad tell you one time, and that's it. Shouldn't go from mom to dad until you get the answer that you like. Hey, wives, don't keep nagging your husbands until they give in. Can I buy this purse? No, not this paycheck. Maybe this. Well, can I buy this purse? Well, can I buy this purse? No. Can I buy this? No. Yes, buy the purse, right? That's exactly what's going on here. Balaam doesn't like what he hears. He's going to come back and try to get another answer from God. But Balaam used the name Lord, not because he knew Him, but because he tried to make himself a servant of Jehovah, because he wanted to manipulate the people and curse them. Why? Because he wanted to get paid. He wanted to get the riches. People today, well, they say God and they say Jesus in one breath, but in the other one, it's, well, what am I going to get out? What am I going to get out of it? Hey, if I come to church, you know, don't expect me to do anything. Don't expect me to change anything. Right? If I come to church, what's in it for me? If I tithe, what's in it for me? How is God going to bless me if I tithe? You see, Balaam did not tell the truth that Israel was blessed and that they would not be cursed. Balaam lied. Balaam was coveting the king's riches. He wanted that door open. He wanted to get paid. And the king became more desperate. He became more desperate. And look here in verse 17. He says, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. Hey, name your price. I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to pay anything. I'm reminded of Matthew chapter 4, whenever Jesus was tempted by the devil, right? Three different temptations, and the devil takes Jesus up onto a high mountaintop, and he tells Jesus, "Hey, look at all that. Oh, isn't that nice? Isn't that lovely? You can have all of that. All of that is yours, Jesus. Just bow down and worship me. Just bow down. Hey, you don't need to go to the cross. You don't need to suffer and bleed and die on that cross. All you got to do is just bow down and you can have all of this right now." Hey, name your price. What's your price? The temptations of the world? A great paying job? "Well, preacher, I got this job in this place. It's a great paying job, but there's no church around." Well, is that God's will? "Hey, preacher, you know, we're moving to the beach. It's a dream house down the beach. And, you know, and every morning I'm going to open up and look out onto the beach and see all the nakedness." Is that God's will? Remember, Lot pitched his tent towards Sodom. He wasn't in Sodom. He pitched it towards Sodom so that he would wake up every single day and look at the wickedness. And the next thing you know, he's in Sodom. Balaam said nothing could change his mind, not even a palace filled with silver and gold. Look in verse 18. It says, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord, my God, to do less or more." Hey, it sounds good, doesn't it? It sounds good, but actions speak louder than words, don't they? Actions speak louder than words. Hey, we say we love the Lord, but the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so we can do a self-test. Do I really love the Lord? How many of his commandments do I keep? Do I keep all of them? Or do I pick and choose? I'll take this one and this one and that one and that one. I'm not doing that. No, not that either. You know, hey, if you love me, keep my commandments. All of them. It should be easy. It should be simple because we love him. But now Balaam
knew exactly what God wanted him to do.
God had already spoken. He was not to curse Israel because they were blessed. They were God's people. But because he was a covetous man, he was hungry for the king's money, he told the people to stay and spend the night again just in case God changed his mind. Look here in verse number 19. He says here in verse number 19, "Now therefore I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me." You get that more right there? See that more? "Yeah, I heard what you said, but you know, Lord, I
hear you, but..."
He didn't like what he heard the first time. And so now he's going to see if the Lord will speak to him again. But I want you to know something, that God doesn't change his mind. God doesn't change. "I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Old Testament is as good for us today as the New Testament." God does not change. Aren't you glad God doesn't change? I mean, think about it. You and I, we change constantly. We change from this afternoon. We've changed since this morning. But God doesn't change. Our emotions are up and down. Our feelings are this and that. Hey, we change all the time, but God doesn't change. And Balaam knew what God had already spoken to him to do. But you know what? God gave him over to his greed. He gave him over to the lust of his heart, to his covetousness. And let me turn with you real quick here over to Romans chapter 1. If you would turn to Romans chapter 1, I'll look here real quick. In Romans chapter 1, we're looking here, and look here at verse number 18. Talking about God's wrath against the unrighteousness, the ungodliness here. In Romans chapter 1, I'm going to read a couple of verses, and I'll give you a homework assignment tonight so you can kind of follow up on the rest of this here chapter and read it. Okay. But in verse 18, the Bible says, "For the wrath of God..." Get that? The wrath of God. But God is a God of love. Yes, He is. He's a God of wrath as well. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against what? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Hey, everything against God's word is what we're talking about here. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Look down here in verse 28. He says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. God gave them up. God gave them over to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, that's what we're talking about, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, and that sounds like everything going on in today's world, doesn't it? Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but get this, but have pleasure in them that do them. You see, God gave Balaam over to his reprobate mind. He turned him over to the lust of his flesh. He set him free on the things that he wanted to do. Because you see, Balaam's heart was set on going. He was going. It didn't matter what God said. He was going. Okay? He was going. He lusted to go. He craved after that wealth. That greed had enslaved his heart. And he was going. Look there in verse number, back in Numbers chapter 22. Look there in verse number 20 and 21. It says, and God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. So basically God is simply, all he's doing is he's allowing Balaam to do what Balaam wanted to do. Remember, God sees the heart. God sees the heart, remember? He sees our motives. Our words are one thing, but God sees right through the heart. Christians, today we come to church. We hear the Word of God preached. We pray. We seek God's face. We know what God wants us to do. And yet, hey, we never do anything about it. We come to church. We get convicted from the Word of God. And we just leave the same way that we came in. But the warning is, be careful. Be careful. Be careful. James 1:22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Why? Deceiving your own self. God was going to make an example out of Balaam here, and just to show how powerful that God is. But now the warning is here for us today is some people, maybe you, I don't know, maybe we asked the question here, are you praying for your will? Are you seeking God's will? What are you looking for? Lord, this is what I want. I'm going to do it anyways. You just need to get on board with me. Be careful. Be careful. Are you praying for your will instead of submitting to God's will? Moving on here, number three. I want you to see here that Balaam was warned by God, but he was blinded by pride. He was blinded by pride. Here in verse 22, 23, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went. You see that? And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So what we have here is the third encounter of God with Balaam. And God uses a donkey here as a sign of his anger. And remember, even though God initially told Balaam to go, that wasn't God's will. God had already spoken not to go. Balaam kept pressing, he kept pressing, and God finally said, go. God may say go, If you keep pressing, he may permit our desires, not because he approves, but because he's going to expose our disobedience. And because if we don't do something about it, there is a judgment to come. There is a judgment to come. Balaam has a judgment that is awaiting here and here pretty soon. But Balaam's donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in judgment. And Balaam was so blinded by pride that he could not even see it. He couldn't see the obvious right in front of us. How many times in our life have we been dealing with pride in our life and we can't see what's right in front of us? Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. But God opened the donkey's mouth to speak. In verse 28, it says, "And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass," and he said, he talks to Balaam, but I want you to know that God made that donkey talk. God did that. God can use anybody that he wants for any purpose that he wants. He can use you. He can use me. He can use a false prophet. He can use a king. He can use anybody to get his point across. But I want you to see here in verse 31 that he opened the eyes of Balaam here. He says here in verse 31, "Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam." Balaam can see now. He can see why the donkey was leading them astray, leading them the other way. "The Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and get this here, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face." Balaam, you are going to be destroyed. I told you not to go. "Thus saith the Lord, the wages of sin is death." Your sin is leading you into death. But notice here that Balaam fell flat on his face when he saw the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, angels do not accept worship. Only the Lord does. And he fell flat on his face here. And I'm reminded of Paul on the road to Damascus when he met Jesus there on the road to Damascus. Right? Paul fell flat on his face. He fell to the ground. Right? He was going into Damascus to persecute Christians, but he met Jesus Christ and he says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And he goes into Damascus, a Christian, a persecuted Christian. But Balaam here, he confessed his sin, but he did not repent. Look here in verse 34. He says, "I have sinned." Sounds good, doesn't it? "I have sinned." We've done that. "I have sinned." But then he says there, "Yet if it displease thee." You see that? If. Underline that. If it displease you. Hey, that sounds good. But if it displease you, right? He was still justifying his actions. He was still saying, yeah, but. He was justifying it. We do the same thing, don't we? We do the same thing. That wasn't repentance. Balaam did not repent. Repentance is turning to God, turning away from sin, obeying God. This was only a partial confession here. He disobeyed God. And he was continuing to disobey God. Why? Because his heart was full of covetousness. His heart was full of pride. He did not turn from his sin. All he did was want the gold and the riches more. Moving on here, I got one more. Number four here, we want to see here that Balaam knew the truth, but he still deceived the people. Balaam knew the truth, but he still deceived the people. Here, if you turn over to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. And I'm going to put all this together here. Numbers 25. It says here, in verse number 1 through 3, it says, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bowed down to their god. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel." Now I want you to see here that Balaam couldn't curse Israel, but he could corrupt them. If you would look, turn over to Numbers 31 and verse number 16. Numbers 31, 16. We see here in Numbers 31, verse 16. He says here, "Behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord." So basically, what Balaam did is he said, "Hey, Balaam, you want to defeat them, what you need to do is don't fight them, join them. Join in with them, seduce them with your women, invite them to your feast, mix the worship of God with the worship of idol." Compromise. 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 And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel so much that there was a plague among the people. Now, if you would, turn over to Revelation. I'm going to show you the third verse here in Revelation chapter 2 about Balaam. On this same note here in Revelation chapter 2 in verse number 14. I want you to see this here. This is the third account of Balaam in the New Testament. But all he had to do was mix in worship of God with idols, some compromise, and it worked. Because the children of Israel committed fornication, they committed idolatry. Here in Revelation chapter 2 in verse 14, Jesus says, "But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication." The doctrine of Baal, or of the doctrine of Balaam. Hey, he couldn't curse them, but he could lead them astray. The same doctrine of Balaam is alive today in our churches all around the world. The devil still uses this same strategy today. Hey, he can't defeat the church. You understand that? The church belongs to Jesus Christ. The devil cannot defeat it. So what does he do? He tries to corrupt it. He tries to get it to compromise. And he uses worldly music. He uses fleshly entertainment. He uses loose standards or no standards. And false people or false prophets lead people astray. He uses false doctrine to entice Christians. And then the next thing you know, we're living in the day of grace. Well, you know what? Hey, you can do anything you want. We're all under grace. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness..." Hey, the grace of God is great, but it teaches us how to live. It teaches us that we're to live a godly life, that we're to turn away from the unrighteousness that we looked at a little bit in Romans chapter 1. But God's judgment was severe that He sent a plague upon His people. In Numbers 25:9, "And those that died in the plague were 24,000. God was mad. Everybody who partook in this false worship here, God destroyed. He took out 24,000 people. Now the doctrine of Balaam says this. It says, hey, you can love God and still fit in with the world. But 24,000 people lost their lives thinking that same way. In Numbers 31, verse 8, the Bible says here that Balaam, also the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. He died. He died. He finally met his end there and he died. But false prophets today, they still use the same doctrine of Balaam. Let's mix the world with the church. The more world we have, the more people that we'll get. But God does not bless it when we compromise His holiness. Churches today are filled with Balaam's doctrine, trying to win the world by becoming like the world. The Bible says there's to be separation. We're to come out from among them. But we have youth ministries full of entertainment, but no Bible conviction. Pulpits full of motivational speaking, but no preaching of the Word of God. Music that sounds like nightclubs, not the church house. Balaam is a warning. It's a warning for us here today. Peter, Jude, prophesied that false teachers in the end times would look just like Balaam. And that's the day we're living in. We are living in those times. Balaam is a warning against hypocrisy. Balaam is a warning against worldliness in the church. Balaam is a warning against having a knowledge of God apart from salvation. You know, God loves you and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. He was buried and He rose again the third day. That is salvation wrapped up in Jesus Christ. It's not wrapped up in me or the church or being baptized or any idea or theory out there. It's all in what Jesus did on the cross. He shed His blood for all mankind. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Have you ignored the warning God has put in your path? What warnings has God put in your path? Are you ignoring those warnings? It's a destruction. It's coming. Destruction is the end. Has God been blocking your path, but you keep pressing forward in rebellion? Take heed to the account with Balaam. Are you following Balaam's way, or are you following God's will? We get to choose. We got a free will. So the choice is ours. Are you following Balaam's way, or are you seeking God's will for your life?